Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of this.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted.
Welcome, it's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me on a Thursday. It's February 4th already. I think I had my thing on January 4th. Anyway, January. Oh, my goodness. February 4th, everybody. Welcome, it's the Ron Kelly Show. I'm lost. I don't even know what day it is. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everyone, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com. Thank you so much, everybody. Greetings and salutations for my folks out there. Welcome. It is the Ron Kelly Show, heard on the web on blogtalkradio.com and in assorted outlets all across the United States of America, the fruited plain of the United States of America. First and foremost, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for protecting me from what ails this crazy country. And the scourge of the coronavirus that continues its deadly march across the United States of America. Speaking of the coronavirus, so far so good. Our new president, Joe Biden, who has promised, is keeping a campaign promise to make stopping the virus his number one priority. And so far so good. There's more than 1 million people are being vaccinated every day. More than 1 million. That's a lot. So, you know, happy about that. That's good news. Bad news is a lot more people are going to die before this thing is over. So, anyway, welcome everybody. Thank you so much for joining me on a beginning of Black History Month 2021. Now I'm going to get into that. Shout out to Mark Fowlis, my brother, the movie maker, the risk taker, Mark Fowlis. Thank you, my brother. So I'm going to get into that. I got so much to talk about today. I'm going to try to squeeze it in. The first 10 minutes of the show is being broadcast on LinkedIn for folks over there who want them to sample the Ron Kelly Show. There's lots of, you know, LinkedIn, the networking site. Shout out to Robert Williams, who's just joined the program as well. Okay, so Joe Biden is keeping the campaign promise. I got a lot to talk about. We got to talk about these crazy QAnon people, and I'm also going to talk more about the coronavirus. Not that much, but just a little bit more, just things you need to know. And, you know, we're in the Black History Month, and I'm going to get into that as well. So thank you so much, everybody, for joining me this evening. It's February 4th, 2021. You're listening to The Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Oh, look at a mess. Look at my hair. My hair is like crazy. More than a million people have been, back to the coronavirus, more than 1 million people have been vaccinated per day. So maybe Joe Biden will keep his promise of 100 million people in the first 100 days of his presidency. So let's just see. Okay, what a crazy world we're living in right now. I watched a video, watched an interview of a lady who, she's a QAnon. I don't know if some of y'all have heard about QAnon. It's this crazy conspiracy group that believes that, oh my goodness, the Jewish lasers are starting, Jewish lasers are starting fires in California, you know, the forest fires in California. Yeah, I mean, just completely crazy and deranged. And so this lady, like millions of Trump supporters who are watching this program, watching the inauguration take place. And she said she was waiting for, she was disappointed because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris didn't get arrested. Where did they find these people? Did Joe Biden, she expected the television to go dark. And Joe Biden, when the TV came back on, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris would be arrested. And and Donald Trump would come back and be the president of the United States of America. Where do they find these people? So the lady said she was disappointed, like millions of other Trump supporters. She said she was disappointed because Joe Biden got inaugurated. She was disappointed. So these crazy and deranged people, the QAnons and some of these other folks, the Republicans, and how much more crazier can the Republicans look? It's just unbelievable. So I'm going to get into that a little bit. I got a couple of things I need to talk about tonight. Shout out to Lamont Gates, who can always count on Lamont Gates for a word of encouragement. So anyway, so we're into the Black History Month. You know, Black History Month, this is 2021. And, you know, I don't know if we're more happy with making history or making progress. Because we had a black president of the United States, Barack Obama, 8 years, president of the United States. Now we have a black vice president of the United States, Kamala Harris, the first. Now we have the first defense secretary, Mr. Austin, Lloyd Austin, and so on and so forth. The beat goes on and on. We have our first black senator from Georgia. And the beat goes on and on. And it seems like we're okay with the history, the historical value of these appointments and these elections. But what has it done for us? Can you say that you were better off than you were? You were better off after Barack Obama's presidency. And I'm not trying to kick Barack Obama's back in, but can anybody say that they have more? They are better off after Barack Obama's presidency. And I'll wait. As a matter of fact, 646-668-2838 is the phone number here. Radio station, 646-668-2838. Can anybody say that they're better off since Barack Obama was president of the United States of America? Can anybody say that? You can go on my Facebook feed and you can, say your piece. But, you know, we're so caught up in the historical value of these, you know, in Paterson, New Jersey, for example, for the folks who across America, Paterson, New Jersey, the first battalion chief, first black battalion chief. Everybody's, oh. And I'm not saying that these things are not, they don't have some kind of, they don't mean anything. Of course they do. David Dinkins was the first black mayor and last black mayor of city of New York. So we have all these, you know, these first black this, first black that, first black the other. But what does it do for us as a people? What is these first black president, first black vice president, the first black this person, the first black that person, what does it do for black people as a whole? Because you had the country singer just the other day, the country singer who said the N-word, and every station dropped him and his record label dropped him. And you see, so what I'm saying is these, you know, these historical appointments and elections, what do they do for black folks? I mean, do we get more respect? Do white folks look at us a different way? Do they respect us more? No. And we had a black president. The president of the United States was black. And again, I'm not kicking Barack Obama's back yet. Now, Barack Obama did what he could. But Barack Obama's presidency did not change the way white folks look at us. It didn't do anything. The president of the United States. I mean, the people who worked for Barack Obama when he was president, they respected him because they had to. He was a president. You keep my job. But what did these things, the first black defense secretary, the first black vice president, the first black president, the first black this, the first black that, the first black that, what does that do for black folks? And again, I'm not saying, shout out to Dave Bowman, my buddy who's watching the program. And I'm not saying that, shout out to Buddy McKnight, my brother from another mother. Thank you, my brother. So we have all these shout out to Myra Lewis. Hey, Myra, what's up, boo? So, you know, what does this do? What does these things do for black folks? What does it do? 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. Okay, my videos. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Gail Carnegie, my sister, that I pick with every day on Facebook. Well, not every day, but you know, I'm not an everyday Facebooker. But, so what does it do for us? What is Barack Obama's presidency? Now we have Kamala Harris as the vice president. The defense secretary is black. You know, all of these historical appointments. And it seems like we worry so much about getting the person in. But once they get in, all right, now what? Now what? All right, now Barack Obama became president of the United States, 2008. Wow, we're on our way now. We're gonna get those reparations. Nope. Barack Obama, 8 years, almost a decade. Did you get the reparations? No. Matter of fact, you get more with these stimulus checks. You get more from the stimulus checks than you got from reparations. You see, because there's never gonna be any reparations. Maybe in the Star Trek years, like 2,000 years from now, we might get them. But as far as like right now, this is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So my point is that what has these historical, with Barack Obama and Kamala Harris and some of these other people, black folks who have ascended to the top of the food chain, and black folks are still down at the bottom. Now, do I blame them? No. I don't blame Barack Obama, you know. But see, we herald these black folks ascending to these positions, and okay, then now what? Now what? Now what? I'm going to talk a little bit about the black-owned New Jersey, the crackpots over there, black-owned New Jersey. I'm going to talk about that, how they treated me. I'm going to get to that, you know, after my first break. But yeah. So what is it? Why are we so caught up in getting black folks in certain areas like Newark, New Jersey, Ross Brock, black mayor. There's been black mayors in Newark, New Jersey. There's been black mayors in Newark, New Jersey for years since Ken Gibson, way back in the 70s. Did Newark got any better? No. There hasn't been a white mayor in Newark, New Jersey. In 30 years, has it gotten better in Newark? Nope. See, so what's the plan? What's the whole plan? You know, and I'm not saying Ross Brock is a bad mayor. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying Barack Obama was a bad president. But what's the plan? See, once we get these people into these positions, now what? Shout out to Elaine Harris Askew, my sister. Thank you so much. So once we get these people in these positions, now what? See, we forget about that. oh, we got them in. Now, well, like Barack Obama, got Barack Obama in, and then that was it. He was in. And nothing happened. So instead of us, you know, sticking our chest out and being so proud that black folks have risen to these lofty heights, once they get there, now what? See, because there was no plan. Barack Obama, everybody was thirsted, foaming at the mouth for Barack Obama to become president. Once he became president, that was it. Now what? That's what I'm saying. Now what? We have black commissioners, police commissioners. Why black folks still getting shot? You know, black this, black that, black the other. Shout out to Rosalind Christie. Buster. Hey, what's up, boo? So we have black this, black that, black the other, black mayors, black governors, black this, black that. Well, selfie, my brother, 20 plus years, friend of mine. Let me hold some. Yeah, so we got black, you know, there's a lot of black folks have ascended to some lofty positions in the United States of America. But there's no plan. There's no plan. Now what? That's my point. Now what? You know, so we have another Black History Month. I'll get into that after the break. Shout out to Lamont Gates, who says, questions, what did you want from Obama personally? See, it ain't about me, Lamont Gates. It's not about just me. I'm not looking for anything from Barack Obama. But my point is that Barack Obama was a president, but a lot of people just looked at him like another N-word. You know, and having Barack Obama and Ros Baraka and some of these people ascending to these lofty heights changes nothing for the black folks on the ground. We're still getting pulled over in Newark. You know, David Dickens was mayor. We stopped and frisked. All this kind of stuff was going on. So when these people, when the black folks ascended to these lofty heights, it didn't do nothing for us. It didn't do nothing for us. You know. Although these, it's a good thing, historical value, whatnot, and stuff like that. But what did it do for us? Now, in my case, I didn't want anything from Obama personally. But if anything, Barack Obama's, shout out to Robert Williams. See, because people, when Barack Obama, you know, I'll get to it when I get back. I'm way over my limit right now. I'm going to talk about when I get back. I'm going to get into this Black History Month. We got to talk about these crazy Republicans. There's so much thing. But I'm not advocating for white people. Gail Carnegie says, well, I'll get y'all. Let me take a quick break and I'll come right back. I'll take a 30-second break. I'll come right back with more of the program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. And it's on Blog Talk Radio. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com and ronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Some statistics are surprising, some are unbelievable, and some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%, and that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All righty then. Welcome back, everybody. It's yours truly, Ron Kelly. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. The Ron Kelly Show is a subsidiary of R. Kelly Media Enterprises, LLC. For legal purposes, that means you can't use my show. For those folks who already tried it. So I'm thumbing through TuneIn, and I see my picture. I'm thumbing through TuneIn. TuneIn is a radio app. So I'm thumbing through TuneIn. I see my picture. The Ron Kelly Show on this station. I'm not going to say what station it is. I'm like, hold up. So I had to call these people. I'm like, well, what are you, why are you showing? See, that's the danger in doing radio on easily accessible media like Facebook and YouTube and some of these other things. People can just steal your stuff. So somebody else in my show is probably in Alaska somewhere. I don't even know about it. So I have to stay on top of it. Okay, everybody, 23 minutes past the hour. So first and foremost, well, let me do something right here. I want to shout out to my friend, my office boo, Tracy Frazier, whose son Richard has been named to the Montclair State University's Fall 2020 Dean's List. So congratulations, Tracy, and congratulations. You did a hell of a job. Congratulations to Richard Frazier, who is Tracy's son, who has been named to the Montclair State University's Fall 2020 Dean's List. So that's what I'm talking about right there. So that should be, see, because that, it should be the norm, not the exception, you know. And when Black folks do exceptional things, usually it ain't a whole bunch of us. It's just one or two of us. So shout out to Tracy Frazier. Thank you so much for being a friend, and congratulations to Richard Frazier, her son, who's been named to Montclair State University's Fall 2020 Dean's List. Okay, everybody, welcome back. Now, let me get back to some of these comments. Now, shout out to Lamont Gates, who says, many could argue George W. Bush did nothing for poor white folks. Well, I guess we didn't. He didn't. I mean, he ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm advocating for Black folks right now, even though there are a lot of white folks who listen to the show. Gail Carnegie says, Barack Obama could have done executive orders. He did. He did. But, you know, the Republicans, you know, you hear Mitch McConnell, who is the minority leader now, not the majority leader, who said our primary purpose is to make Barack Obama a one-term president. It didn't happen like that. Barack Obama won a second term, but he blocked everything that Barack Obama tried to do. So we have another Black History Month. And, you know, in Black History Month, I mean, nobody barely says anything about Black History Month anymore. You see a quote here from Langston Hughes or James Baldwin or you know, Martin Luther King. It's like Martin Luther King's birthday. Nobody hardly said anything. You know, so Martin Luther King's probably like, I got killed for this. Yeah, I put my behind on the line and got killed, and what? I can't even get a shout out for my birthday. You know, just unbelievable. So again, let me close that out. The Black first Black president, first Black vice president, first Black secretary of defense, first Black this, first Black that, first Black the other, and you still just an N-word. Okay, everybody, it's 27 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock. You are listening to The Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, The Ron Kelly Show.com. So a 95-year-old man, it's not funny, a 95-year-old man kills a maintenance worker at his, it's just unbelievable. A 95-year-old man kills a maintenance worker at the home that he was staying in because he thought that the people wanted to kill him. I mean, so what's his sentence going to be? You know, a 95-year-old man killed somebody in the maintenance. He killed a maintenance worker in the old folks' home that he was staying in because he thought that they were going to kill him and take his money. So this 95, what's his sentence going to be? I mean, do you even have a trial for this man? You know, he's 95 years old. I mean, what you going to, life can be 6 months. You know what I mean? Because a man is like 95 years old. But yeah, you can read about it. 95-year-old man killed a maintenance worker in the old folks' home where he was staying at because he thought that they were going to take his money and kick him out of the nursing home, I guess. Wow, unbelievable. Oh, yeah, so Columbus killer cop Adam Coy is charged with felony murder in the killing of unarmed Black man Andre Hill. Just read about that the other day, yesterday, I believe it was. You know, see, these things, just continue to happen. They just continue to happen. It's just stunning that you know, this stuff continues to happen. So the there was a vote in the House of Representatives today. They wanted to kick out this crazy chick, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's just totally, you know, loony. And see, you know, this is the scary part. You know, this is the scary part, because I don't care about Joe Blow down the block, who's a racist. I mean, I don't care about him. I had nothing to fear from him. But see, when these kooks and these crackpots start getting elected to Congress, now we got a problem. Now we got a problem. It's QAnon and all these crazy people, the white supremacists and all these folks. When they start getting elected to Congress like they are right now, that's when it becomes a problem. Because, you know, now you can affect me. You know what I mean? Now you can affect me. Before, like I said, the guy down the street who might be a racist, and I know he's a racist, and he lets me know he's a racist, that's okay, because I don't care about him. He can't harm me. When these people take over, like Trump, for example, when they take office, now there's a problem. I mean, you had a president of the United States who was a racist, I believe. And he spurred these people on to run down on the Capitol building. You see, so that's the scary part. That's the scary part, see, because if they would have made it up in there and hooked off on some of those Congress people, it would have been a problem. It would have been a problem. So that's the scary part. That is the scary part. You know. So and what are they afraid of? I've read it. Somebody was telling me today that what are white supremacists and people? They're afraid of losing control. And they have to have control at all costs. That's what it is. They're afraid of losing control of this country, which they have for the most part right now. They control the media, they control the financial world, they control real estate, they control manufacturing and cars and all this type of stuff. And they're afraid to lose that. You see, so Trump didn't create these people. He didn't create these people. They were already here. They were just waiting for a Messiah, like we did. We were waiting for when Martin Luther King came along, everybody rallied behind, all the black folks rallied behind Martin Luther King. Because Martin Luther King, shout out to Stephanie Freitas, who's joined the program. Thanks so much. Yeah, so when just like us, when Martin Luther King came along, black folks rallied around Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King was saying Martin Luther King was a powerful individual. He never was a president. He was never elected to elected office. But Martin Luther King was powerful. So when Martin Luther King came along, we all ran behind him. And when Trump came along, all the white supremacists and those folks ran behind him. So Donald Trump didn't create these people. They were already here. They were just waiting for somebody to come along and give them a voice. And Donald Trump did. So I'm on the Black-owned New Jersey site the other day. And it's not all about race. I have some other things I need to talk about. I'll get to that. But I'm on the Black-owned New Jersey site the other day. And, you know, and the folks on the Black-owned New Jersey site are, it's not a site, it's a group on Facebook. And what they do is, you know, they advocate for black folks, black businesses. So I shout out to Don Payne, DP, my brother. So I go on the Black-owned New Jersey website, Facebook page, yesterday, right? Yeah, I watched that. Shout out to Ralph and Christie. What about the dude from My Pillow making accusations? Yeah, I saw that. I saw the interview on Newsmax. And Newsmax is a straight-up conservative TV station, cable station. And the guy who was interviewing Mike Lindell got up and walked out. He was so disgusted. This guy is still touting this nonsense about the election being rigged. Unbelievable. So I go on the Black-owned New Jersey website, Facebook page, say Facebook post, and I say, you know, and everybody on there is advocating for Black business. I'm looking for Black this, Black that, Black lawyer, Black therapist, Black psychiatrist, Black painter, Black mechanic. So I just happened to pop on there and said, well, why do they have to be Black? Oh, boy. I mean, there were so many exclamation marks behind some of the stuff they were saying to me. I mean, and then at the end of the day, they took my comment, removed my comment. I'm not a member of the group anyway, but I removed my comment. They removed my comment from their Facebook page. And, 866-668-2828 for everybody who's listening out there on the radio. 866-668, did I say that right? 2838. 646-668-2838. For people who are listening, I am monitoring the telephones. Now I am. I missed two calls. But, so now they went off on me, basically. The people on Black-owned New Jersey went off on me because I said, why does it have to be a Black business? Why does it have to be a Black business? And they just snapped on me, just went off. You see, because go on Facebook and see if you see white-owned New Jersey on Facebook. Everybody will be, hair be on fire, be falling out, calling the news media. You know. No, 646-668, I'm sorry, 646, Gail Carnegie, 646-668-2838. People have been getting on me for years about saying the number too fast. 646-668-2838. Yeah, so they went off on me because I said, well, why is it going to be Black? Now, I let white folks say, oh, white-owned New Jersey. Everybody, we would have a fit. We would have an absolute fit if white folks did that. If white folks said, Black-owned New Jersey, to their credit, they don't say don't shop with white people. They don't say that. But if white folks had a site or a page that said buy white stuff, we'd lose our mind. We would lose our mind. Shout out to Lamont Gates, who says, well, in terms of counseling, Dr. K, et cetera, research shows that groups of the same race culture feel more comfortable disclosing info as they are able to understand or be understood culturally. Okay. I give you that. I don't agree with 100%, but, you know, look. So, if you got cancer, Lamont Gates, do you feel better talking to a Black cancer doctor than a white one? You know what I'm saying? If you have some chronic illness, would you feel better talking to a Black heart specialist than a white one? To me, it wouldn't make a difference. But I understand when you're talking about counseling, and I'm sure many people would. I mean, to me, I wouldn't care. If I got cancer, I don't care who I talk to. But I do understand, like, especially with men, you know, especially we got issues. We got, you know, if you got ED, you know, erectile dysfunction or something like that, you know, some man problem. Yeah, you might feel better talking to a Black pulmonary specialist rather than a white one. Yeah, sure. Or some cultural situation, you know, something that a Black person would understand. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. Because, you know, you might feel better if a Black person, because of the cultural similarities, you would feel better. Rosalind Christie says, as it relates to a therapist, I need them to inherently understand my struggle. So, yes, I need a Black therapist. If you were drowning, you want a Black man or white man to save you. I wouldn't care what color he was. I'm drowning. So there's no cultural value to that. Stick your hand out and save me. So they went off on me. Took my, you know, and see, now, you can't, a foundation has to be built. See, because a lot of us can't even talk to each other. You know, how many times, I don't know, I always go on. That's not a business either. Shout out to Stacey Adams, who just joined the program. I was looking like, oh, Stacey Abrams. I'm still excited, Stacey Adams. Don't get me wrong. Stacey Abrams would be a coup. So and I get it. I get it, Lamont Gates. You know, how you doing, sister? So I understand it. But there's got to be a foundation built. You know, because how many times, and I'll go on people's feeds and say something different, totally different from what they talk about, in the same vein, something totally different, and they laugh and they just snap on you. See, because when you put something out on Facebook, and I'm not the Facebook rulemaker, but when you put something out on Facebook, you know, you have no control over how people react to it. So when I said why does a business have to be black? Oh boy, people's hair was on fire, and I just don't get it. You see, so you know, I want to be able to walk down Springfield Avenue at 2 o'clock in the morning. Springfield Avenue near Newark. Oh, okay, all right, Danny, my boy, my homeboy, Danny. My boy Danny Norman, who is not with us today. He's not dead. He's maybe in some ways, yeah, he is. But that's my man. Love him to death. He hasn't called me in a while either, by the way. But yeah, so, you know, I mean, there has to be a foundation built. You know, because we can't talk to each other. I mean, how are we going to do business with each other if we can't even talk to each other? No. It's the first reaction is a snap. It's not to, well, what do you mean by that? Or, you know, the first reaction is a snap. Go on. So how are we going to do business with each other if we can't even talk to each other? You see, because, you know, I talk often about that. I'm a product of Jersey. Well, not a product of Jersey, but I grew up in Jersey City. I'll put it like that. And there's an area, for people who live in Jersey City, there's an area of Jersey City, Tunley Avenue, between the Boulevard, between Kennedy Boulevard and Tunley Avenue, all Indian people. Right. See, now these people, now the Indians, they sell what, they know what they each other needs, so they sell what they need. They don't sell all exotic stuff like lingerie with you know, they sell goods and services for their people, what they need. You know what I'm saying? And that's why those businesses do well, because they understand that, they understand about commerce amongst each other. They understand that. See, we don't understand that. We don't understand that. And what they sell stuff that they need. We be selling Gucci stuff and, you know, and designer masks and, you know, oh, who the hell, you know, who needs that kind of stuff? They sell basic goods and services to each other. And that's how those businesses thrive. And that's how they succeed. They don't sell exotic stuff, heels and, you know, and all the kind of stuff that we be selling to each other, all kinds of extravagant, you know, type stuff. They sell food and they sell services to each other. They not like us because we want to sell Juicy Couture and all this stuff to each other. Hey, who the hell, you know, and that's why your business is down the drain. You know, because they sell what they know their neighbor needs. So a lot of those people probably don't even leave town. They, whatever they need, they can get it in that 3-block radius. They can get it. If they need to send money back to India, they can do it. If they need an appliance or they want to go out to eat or they want to get something, you know, just indigenous to their existence, all the businesses, they sell what they need. I know I'm being redundant. I apologize for that. We want to sell each other fur coats. You know, you got to sell stuff that people need on a daily basis. That's how you make money. Because people are going to keep coming back. They're going to run out, and they're going to keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back. We don't do that. We want to sell exotic, you know, Burberry and all of this type of stuff. And it's like business don't last. Let me take a break. Let me take, I'm not making light of it. I'm just saying. Let me take a quick break. One more quick break. One more. And I'll be right back to wrap this thing up. This is the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
Snickerdoodle, shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many treats? Snickerdoodle, shortbread, fudgy nut bar. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
And we are back, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Shout out to Andrea Felder, who's Andrea Felder, who says, so do, yeah. Because we want to sell exotic designer nonsense to each other. And, you know, you got to sell people food and, you know, and services and things that people think that black folks need. Because there are things we need on a daily basis. But we have to go somewhere else and get it. Because our folks want to sell Gucci and, you know, Gucci belt and the Gucci shoes and the Gucci hat. And, you know, I don't even have none of Gucci, and I'm sure I could probably afford it. But when you're doing business with each other, you got to sell goods and services that black folks need on a daily basis. Okay, everybody, it's about 14 minutes before the hour. It's the Ron Kelly Show, as you know. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show, .com. So, yeah, so it's crazy, crazy, crazy out here. You know, the Trump shadow is still hanging over us. The Trump shadow. It's still hanging over us. And, you know, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. You know, gun sales are up since last year. 2 million guns have been sold. 2 million guns have been sold since last year. In 2019, 2 million guns were sold. 2 million. Handguns, rifles, shotguns. Like, people are getting amped up and ready to go. You know. So, yeah. Yes. So, yeah, so as I said earlier, Andre Hill, the black man in Columbus, Ohio, was killed by a killer cop, Adam Coy. And they talk about training all the time. See, because, you know, you can't train. By virtue of human nature, we all, I mean, if you see somebody hanging out a window of a burning building, I mean, you see people who don't have no idea who these people are, they'll grab a blanket. And then, you know, people on each end of the blanket, and they'll tell the person, but if they got a baby, drop the baby down. But I mean, by virtue of human nature moves us to help people, you know, and feel bad when we can't. And you see, you can't train somebody to be empathetic. You can't. You can't. You can't train somebody to care. You can't. And see, every time a police officer kills a black person, or every time a police officer beats up a black person, like that girl in Florida, if some of y'all wasn't posting your food pictures on Facebook, you might know that girl in Florida, 16-year-old girl, was slammed to the concrete by this police officer. And you can hear the girl's head thump. The sickly thud of somebody's head bouncing off the concrete. You can hear it. And the person who was filming it was like 20 feet away. Anyway, he grabbed a girl, this police officer, grabbed this black girl. She's about 15, 16 years old. Grabbed her and made sure her arms were behind her back so she couldn't even put a hand out to block. She couldn't even put a hand out to block the her head crashing into the concrete. And see, that was just, that was evil. That was evil. See, they always talk about training, retrain, sensitivity training. You can't treat, you can't, shout to Ronald McCurdy, my brother from grammar school. You can't teach somebody to be, to, you can't teach empathy to anybody. You can't teach a person to care. So that's garbage, what they're talking about when they talk about sensitivity training. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. I'm glad you squeezed in there. It's about 10 minutes left of the program, but you're welcome anytime. So, yeah. So they talk about, see, now, they talk about training. So the first thing they do now when they killed this man, Andre Hill, 47-year-old black man who was unarmed, you know, my training told me to shoot him. Okay. Okay. Now, according to the Columbus, Ohio Police Department, each officer is trained to turn in a body cam. Did he do it? No. Each officer is trained to render aid to somebody they shoot. Did he do it? No. So, all right, so now, so what happened with the training there? You're supposed to turn on your body cam. You're trained to do what you did. You were supposed to render aid to the man after you shot him. And you, in the video, you can hear the man moaning, shot in the chest a couple of times. And they're standing around. But could compress trying to, you know, help the man? No. So your training tells you to render aid. You didn't. Your training tells you to turn the body cam on. You didn't. See, you can't. See, these people, you can't train somebody to care about black folks. See, because, you know, they, you know, when he smashed that girl's head on the concrete, that there was something else behind that. Now, I'm not saying he was a racist. All right, he was a racist. But there's something behind that. So you can't train somebody to care. You can't train somebody to be, you can't train somebody to have empathy. This is a whole, this is something else. This isn't, you know, about training. This is about somebody who wants to cause harm to black folks. That's what it's about. Somebody who wants to cause harm to black folks. Can't train nobody to care. So this is what goes down with this type of stuff. Everybody, it's 8 minutes before the hour. So yeah, so we got another Black History Month. So, you know, and Black History Month comes and goes every year. Black History Month come and go. How many Black History Months have I seen? A lot of them. And many of you out there who are listening to me on radio, you know. See, because Black History Month, you know, it's supposed to mean something. You know. And it comes and it goes. Oh well. You know. Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. Oh, it is? Oh, I'm taking off. You know. I went to work. And it's supposed to mean something. But it really doesn't. Because a lot of us are just caught up in our own little world. On Facebook, 24/7, 365. I don't get it. I mean, you know, yeah, I know y'all on Facebook now. Y'all on Facebook for me, and I appreciate you. And I don't hate Facebook. Some people be on Facebook all the time. Picture after picture after picture after picture. And I just, I don't unfriend anybody. I just snooze them for 30 days. You get tired of looking at the same people. I mean, how many poses can you make? How many times can you drive on Facebook Live? How many times can you work out? It's just unbelievable. So I just, but I appreciate y'all for coming on here and on Facebook Live and checking me out. I appreciate that. You know, 6 minutes before the hour. Yeah, I appreciate that. But yeah, but Black History Month should mean something. I mean, we all should be doing something. You know, to honor the memory of Dr. Martin Luther King. Black History Month comes around. We all should be doing something. Feed the homeless. Donate money. You know, do something. Years ago, before the COVID and stuff like that, I remember being not in the hospital, but going to the hospital and seeing people. And I remember that my son, when he was first born, but he's like 30 now, was in the hospital. And all these babies, you know, I don't know if they were crack babies, the mothers are gone, whatever the case may be. And all these babies were in their cribs crying. And they wasn't crying because they was wet or hungry. They was crying because they didn't have any companionship. The babies were crying because nobody was around. And so, I had to go through believe it or not, I know you sound kind of crazy because y'all look at me like, get out of here. But you have to go through a process. And what I did was I used to go up to the neonatal ward and I used to hold some of those babies. This is a few years ago, years back when I lived in Jersey City. And I used to hold, because they would allow you, after you went through a process, they would allow you to sit up there and hold some of those babies, just so they can feel some human contact. Because a lot of the babies, the mothers had left, you know, had the baby bounced, abandoned. There were so many abandoned babies in that ward, it was ridiculous. So I used to hold those babies. I used to go up there every now and then, and I would just, they would sit you in a chair, they make sure you got a, I probably don't do it no more because all the stuff that's going on. And they used to allow you to hold, like the abandoned babies, they would allow you to hold those babies. Because I felt, because I'm like, wow. I mean, babies in the crib, not the crib, but you know the thing, they sit them in a little plastic thing, and they'd be crying. And the babies would be crying, I mean, constantly, crying. Babies are crying, those babies, most of them were black, those babies were crying for human contact. That's what they was crying for, And they wouldn't, for some reason, the nurses and the people who worked in the hospital wouldn't hold those babies. Maybe they felt like they would get sued if they dropped it or whatever, the case may be, or they get fired. But I used to do that. I used to go to the hospital and I would hold, several different babies. And the babies would stop crying. Once I picked them up, they would stop. They sit you in a chair and they would bring the baby to you. This was something they had going on a while back when there was a rash of abandoned babies. I mean, it's probably not as bad as it was back then. And I used to hold on to the babies, hold the babies. I mean, I didn't stay up there for 3 or 4 hours, but I would go up there and I would hold on to the baby for like half hour or whatever, 45 minutes. Because I felt so bad. So I'm a sensitive guy, so y'all don't know that. The exterior is like solid steel, but I'm a sensitive guy. And I held on, and I used to go up there and I used to hold the babies. And the baby stopped crying when you picked the baby up. So like I said, I don't know now with the COVID and all that's going on, they probably don't do it. Yeah, that was something I did years ago when I was younger. I'm not old right now either. But I remember that. Holding on to those babies. Right, and it was therapy for me too. Yeah, South Rouse and Chrissy says she knew a few. A few people who did that. Yeah, I did that. I went up there at the hospital because I felt so bad that those babies were sitting up there abandoned with nobody. I mean, their life hasn't even. Babies are a couple of days old, and there's nobody there to hold. Nobody there to soothe them. Just by themselves. So I used to do that. So that's a little R. Kelly moment that I put on y'all. And it was therapy for me too, because I felt like I was making a difference when I walked out of the hospital. And I know that baby, for them time I held that baby felt, to be that young and not have nobody, it's just unbelievable. Anyway, everybody, it's about 2 minutes before the program is over. I'm going to take y'all through, La La Land. But yeah, I used to do that. I used to hold on to those babies. Shout out to Dave Oldman, truly hear me. Yeah. And I felt like I was making a difference. Because those babies would be crying. Mama that had the baby and gone. Baby the babies on, what do you call it? But I thought bitchy was for something else. They put the babies on when the mama was cracked up. And, Shout out to Dave Oldman who said I didn't worry about the baby. No, I picked up whatever baby that they gave me. I didn't ask for a black baby. I picked a black baby again. You know, they, like I said, they don't do it now, but yeah, I did that. The all hardcore in your face. Yeah, I held babies. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And I felt good that the baby had a moment to have some human contact. Because that's all they were crying for. They're like, I changed you. The nurse, I changed you. I fed you. Are you still crying? Yeah, because the baby wants somebody to touch him. That's why, idiot. You know. Anyway, 60 seconds left to the program, everybody. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining me, as y'all do every Thursday night right here, listening to my nonsense on the Ron Kelly Show. Thank you to everybody, Dave Ullman and Lamont Yates and Rosalind Christie and everybody who Ronald McCready and my homeboy Bunny McKnight, who's there like swimwear, Stacey Adams, all y'all who watch the program, listen to me on, and all the folks who listen to me on the radio, I can't leave y'all out. People who are out there like, they don't never talk to us. Yes, I am. So I want to thank everybody so much for joining me. We'll see you back here next Thursday for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. So until then, I'd like to say, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. Hear that? And we may not have it all together, but together we can certainly have it all. And I think I'm done.